Okay, Girly Nation, expect more and pay less at Target. Come on, who doesn't shop online? Let's keep it 100. Target has created deals that add even more fun to spring and summer. You can link to this week's deals from my new website, ninababel.com/podcast, and you're going to look for episode number 18 for this week's store discounts. What's up, Girly Nation? Welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girl Show, coming to you live and direct from the nation's capital here in Washington, D.C. I'm your hostess with the Keep It 100 Girl Mostess. It's Nina, Nina Babel. And as always, I keep it 100, I keep it real, I keep it true. And this is where women tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. I'm unapologetically myself, and I talk to you like I talk to my own girlfriends. Think of how you talk to your own girlfriends over din-dins and drinks. This is the No Prude Zone. Some of you may freak out about our funny, emotional roller coaster moments today. And I'll admit, I live on the edge, and I share what women are thinking but not saying out loud. Because you know what? You're too shy, nervy, and embarrassed to ask. One rule of my podcast is we overshare. Our stories are cray. Cray, surprising, edgy, and some of you would even consider taboo. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? In last week's episode, we talked about the crazy bitch theory. The inspiration for this episode came from Beyoncé's Lemonade Effect. It's that rites of passage that women, like our mothers, don't tell you about. Girly Nation talked about the triggers in their relationships that made them crazy or jealous. You have to go through it to understand it. So check it out. It's episode number 17. So on today's episode, May has come. C-U-M. And love begins with self after all. When it comes to sexual wellness and awareness, you have to love yourself first. Let me keep it 100. If you don't, by the end of this episode, there are ways to get a better buzz other than one or two cocktails. Girly Nation reveals what the pleasure principle means to them, discovering their needs, and what it means to be horny. Okay, so I had no inkling whatsoever that May is International Masturbation Month. Today, the show is packed with a range of No Prude Zone topics about sexual plumbing. Women aren't used to talking about masturbation. You may want to adjust your volume for this episode in either direction, depending on who or who's not around. What you're going to hear is, number one, stigmas we've had with the pleasure principle. Number two, pop culture and its effect and influence on women, like Sex in the City, vibrator diaries, and the addiction. Number four, self-discovery. Forget that cold shower and get over it. Number five, you're the newbie in the room. When I think of my personal evolution as a woman in a sexual sense, I often equated pleasuring to jerking off. And there's a reason for this. True story. In junior high school, the teacher would order the students by alphabet. So we would sit according to the first letter of your last name. And 9 times out of 10, I was in the first row or the last. And I would always cringe if I knew I was in the last row of the classroom. Because you see, there was this boy, I kid you not, no lie, who would jerk off in the last seat of the class. Sexual stigmas. We all fall vulnerable to the hand that was dealt to us. For some of us, this means being naive.
I honestly started watching porn, like Playboy, at a young age. Like, I was probably, I want to say, 10 to 12 when I started watching. Because my uncle had satellite, so like he had all the Playboy channels, and I was just fascinated with these girls. They were just so beautiful. You know, they were so pretty. And, like, I just didn't really, like, understand that it was porn that I was watching when I was younger. Because, like, they used to have, like, you know, they would play out the whole video and stuff. So I really learned about toys and vibrators and stuff from watching porn. And I never would tell anybody. I never told none of my friends or anything like that. It was just, like, this big secret all to myself.
When I think back, I remember the boys in my class. They would always call them out loud with this nickname, Jerk Off. It was always, hey, jerk off, or if he said something stupid in class, they would say it out loud and the teacher would allow it, actually. She never or he never told the students to stop. It was this quiet inside joke where the teachers in Catholic school knew it but did nothing. But they always made sure he sat at the back and he sat like two rows away from us in the last row. But that just, it didn't stop us from looking, seeing, or knowing what was going on. We knew what was going on. He was clearly the outcast of our class. And I remember catching him in the act. I don't know if it was out of curiosity. I saw his hand motion out of the corner of my eye. And I think I did that just to understand what the boys in school were referring to. And they said, jerking off. So that was my first mini introduction to masturbation, but more to understand what it was and from the guy's point of view. Another scenario that clearly shows the naive side of me, especially where the pleasure principle is concerned, was when I was in college. My girlfriend's older sister, you know, she asked me if I was dating anybody, and I said, no, I don't want any distractions, especially after losing my virginity the first semester of school. I was put on academic probation, so I wasn't trying to have any boys in school until I graduated, which didn't end up happening, but regardless, I graduated. She said to me, don't you have any needs? And I was just dumbfounded. I was like, I didn't know what she meant, and I didn't pursue it either. But now that I'm older, I totally get and understand what the hell she was trying to say, and that was, don't you get horny?
I can relate to feeling similarly, you know, years ago. Yeah, it's amazing when you just, it's like, hasn't occurred to you because you've been taught that it's bad and naughty and a boy thing.
Then I remember having a conversation with this guy. I had to be in my early 20s with my roommate. And we were all cool, and he openly asked us if we masturbated. And my first reaction was, ew! Like, why would I even want to do that? Like, look at me. I can have any guy I want, and that would solve the problem and give me the pleasure that I needed. Not realizing that I too can solve that problem solo. I don't need a guy to solve that problem. But then the other part of me too associated masturbating to jerking off. Remember back to that junior high school story? So I looked at it as a shameful thing. This is something that guys do and not necessarily women. Women experience other kinds of insecurities related to their sexuality. August is single, in her 30s, and the founder of Girl Boner Radio, where good girls go for sexual empowerment. August walks us through her behaviors and the roadblocks which prevented her from connecting to her own sexuality.
The inspiration came from my own personal journey. When I was in sex ed as a kid in Minnesota, we learned about male pleasure a little bit, but we didn't learn anything about female pleasure, nothing about anything good that was going to happen to us other than, you know, yay, you're going to menstruate and have cramps. We didn't learn anything about what might feel good. And so I had this curiosity for a very, very long time. And then fast forward to after high school, I took a modeling contract in New York City and was traveling around in the fashion world. And I developed a really severe eating disorder, which I later realized had a lot to do with the fact that I had never embraced my sexuality fully. So the combination, it sort of dawned on me that, wow, you know, if I had embraced my sexuality, if I had been encouraged to seek pleasure and to understand and respect my body instead of kind of fear it and shun it, my whole life would have been different.
Negative behaviors, we are all products of our environment.
Actually, I think it had more to do with my own insecurities. So around also that kindergarten age, I was already developing really poor body image. My mom had really poor body image too. She was abused when she was a child and had been basically bullied by a parent about her body. And so I was a little sponge. I also saw with the media, we pick it up right away that to be successful and to be beautiful, we have to look a certain way. And there's obesity in my family. And I thought, you know, I was going to be overweight and obese. And in my mind, that was just this terrifying thing that meant failure because of, you know, the imaging that I was seeing and the messages I was receiving. So I was already really insecure about my body at that point. And when my body started to change with puberty, I was horrified. I thought I was getting larger, you know, because you're getting a little bit more curvy, and all the hormonal shifts that I completely didn't understand, I started to really struggle emotionally. So for me, it was like every sign of puberty and becoming more of a woman terrified me. And I equated it with failure in this weird way. So I even would try to, like, when my breast started to protrude a little bit, I would wear like a really tight tank top underneath a shirt to try to hide it. Like, that was really kind of where everything in my own journey started to take a turn toward negative behaviors that would happen later.
So next, August talks about religion and its impact on her sexuality, body image, and even her mother's abuse. And they all are interrelated and connected.
There is a lot of religious influence. It was more so early on. So when I was really young, we went to my grandparents' church, and they were a type of Baptist that was really, really strict. There were lots of rules. And now my family is quite different. So when my mom came out about her abuse, she and my dad decided to, you know, seek another means of spirituality. So they became more non-denominational. And my mom has really maintained her faith. And in fact, I think her faith is a reason. It's helped her survive through so much. And she really relies on it. And I love that she has it. My siblings are, you know, really open-minded. I certainly had a complicated relationship with religion when I was little because I questioned those rules from the beginning, not just about sexuality, but just I didn't understand how it could be this controlling thing. It didn't make sense to me if there was a God that there'd be all these weird judgments that we were making. So yeah, there definitely was a lot of religious influence, and that's super common. Like, I've interviewed hundreds of women about their experiences specific to sexuality, and I would say the majority had some sort of negative religious influence early on, which is really sad because you can be very spiritual and religious and have a very sexually empowered life. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes humans come in and decide to make it really repressive.
If there's anyone out there listening for the first, second, or third time, girlfriend, I need your 5-star rating and review after you listen to any of my episodes, including this one, by clicking the ratings and reviews section in the iTunes or Stitcher app. Then this is what you're going to do. You're going to select 5 stars, you're going to title your review, and then write a description. I mean, that's easy breezy 1, 2, 3, right? Then we have the Sex in the City generation, and I am proudly one of those. This was every single woman's anthem, Bible, holy grail to the pleasure principle in so many ways. It embodied female friendship to begin with. Pop culture took the whole female empowerment movement to a whole nother level. This allowed women on a weekly basis to hear and express their sex life freely with their girlfriends when it came to our own love and sex lives.
Big deal. In 50 years, men are going to be obsolete anyway. I mean, already you can't talk to them. You don't need them to have kids with. You don't even need them to have sex with anymore, as I've just very pleasantly discovered.
Uh-oh, sounds like somebody just got their first vibrator.
Not first. Ultimate. And I think I'm in love.
Oh, please stop. This is so sad.
Come on, I'm not going to replace a man with some battery-operated device.
Yeah, you say that, but you haven't met the rabbit.
Oh, come on. If you're going to get a vibrator, at least get one called the horse.
A vibrator does not call you on your birthday. A vibrator doesn't send you flowers the next day, and you cannot take a vibrator home to meet your mother.
Well, I know where my next orgasm is coming from. Who here can say as much?
Every week, this show revolutionized the way women opened up, liberated, or it even influenced our views on relatable, taboo sex topics and relationships and not hiding them anymore.
I was never comfortable at an early age. I had a best friend and she was like, she would have multiple partners and stuff. And like, she was had no shame in it and didn't care. And like, I wasn't comfortable like that. And for me, it was always like, I had to be with only my boyfriend. And, you know, like, I wasn't really comfortable telling him what I liked and stuff yet. I don't think I got comfortable until about my 20s. And I met a guy. And I felt comfortable enough to tell him, you know, oh, okay, I like this, or oh, let's try this, or oh, let's do that, you know. And I think it's just all about, you know, being comfortable with yourself, because now, you know, I'll be like, no, I don't like that, but we could do this.
Come on. Mostly every woman has a vibrator conversation of some kind, or she will eventually own one. It's a quick and easy, I call it meal replacement.
I learned more about dildos through you because I hadn't had any friend prior to that even bring it up or admit to it or even just introduce it as, hey, like, this is something that girls do. Or, you know, after that, the next exposure I had was going to one of those parties and realizing these women in the room had like drawerful of all these rabbits and dildos. And I'm looking at them like, I'm the greenest person in the room. Like, what? I was like, what?
Exactly. Right.
August continues to talk about how her friend gifted her with a vibrator.
It really shouldn't be, but it's for somebody who's in that place, because I remember being there too. I had a really good friend of mine who was telling me that I was, because I'd moved to LA and was newly single after being really seriously monogamous in many serious relationships, and decided to be just single and free, and it dawned on me one day that I could have casual sex. And I was like, wait, I never knew I could do that. And a friend of mine had said, you know, I think you need to like slow down, like you're getting a little too into it. She gave me a vibrator, like she wanted to gift me one. And I was just like, what? You know, I remember feeling that way. And that was just such a normalized thing. And it's so empowering. Like, if we've been raised to explore those parts of ourselves and to really embrace our own pleasure, that's the best way to cultivate wonderful relationships with other people. And really, we need to know that our sexuality is our own first, and then it's something we can share if we want to, you know, instead of it's something that we have to share or worse, give to somebody, you know?
Okay, guys, this is official Keep It 100 Girl confirmation that we use a vibrator to finish the job you didn't do. Or it's just, like I said, a quick meal replacement in between relationships. Tara is not addicted. She says this is routine for her. In fact, a daily routine.
I have like a daily ritual right now because like, I don't know, it's like a stress relief too. And, you know, it's just that guys are so much. Like, I'm single and I usually don't like jump from guy to guy because that's not my personality. I like to stay with one guy for a long time. But it's just like when you see them with all these different girls, you're like, oh my gosh, well, I might as well just date every guy because he's just dating them all for me. So it's just so complicated now. The vibrator just makes it easy.
So before the Amazon store and just the full options available on the internet, I mean, everybody went to Greenwich Village in New York City. After all, it's the headquarters for vibrators and any kind of sex toy alive. Plus, a lot of people are embarrassed just walking into their pink pussycat shop in their local town. Going to New York was just an easy breezy way, not getting caught by anybody you know, and getting what you need.
Ladies, I'd like you to meet the rabbit.
$92? Please, think about the money we spend on shoes.
Well, I have no intention of using that. I'm saving sex for someone I love.
Fantastic. Is there a man in the picture?
Look! Oh, it's so cute! Oh, I thought it would be all scary and weird, but it isn't. It's pink for girls. Oh. And look, the little bunny has a little face, like Peter Rabbit.
And it's even got a remote. I mean, how lazy do you have to be?
Besides, it always made for a girlfriend outing. This is where one of my girlfriends introduced me not only to the book Tickle Your Pickle, but also The Bullet. So now we could openly discuss how to enjoy yourself in many situations and talk about it with your girls without feeling at fault, almost like in an unapologetic Samantha manner. And then there's some of you that just can't.
Yeah, I think it's really common for women to have very little experience with sex toys or feel a lot of shame around using them or even, you know, considering them. And I think they're wonderful tools for our bedroom toolboxes. And they certainly aren't something that are, you know, it's not a necessary thing. But I do think that it's something to consider, you know, and whether you decide to, you know, engage early on in your path or later on, it's a great way to add adventure and fun and pleasure. And you can use them on your own. You can use them with a partner. They're awesome.
For those girlfriends who could talk about it and educated the rest of us, you know who you are, and it started as early as college. For most of us, college is the playground of sexual temptation. It is the Garden of Eden. It represents the future generations of those Sex and the City characters that teaches girls like Brittany about the pleasure principle.
When I was in college, I joined a sorority, and this was not a sorority activity per se, but I got a very close relationship with other women through my experience in a sorority in college and developed some really strong friendships. And there was one girl in the chapter who had posted something that I'd never heard of before, but now I know this is a widespread party. It's called a surprise party, but I literally had no idea what it was about until I got there. But it was like a Tupperware party for sex toys.
Oh.
And yeah. And so, you know, you bring in a distributor from a company and they walk you through the different tools and they take you into, you know, a back room or a bedroom and you can shop and find out, you know, purchase whatever you want in privacy. So it's very discreet, but like a girl's night inside, you know, a girl's night in. And so at the surprise party, I was introduced for the first time to, you know, toys and dildos and things of that nature and decided that I was going to partake and explore in that.
Yeah.
And what was fascinating was, you know, along with her teaching us about the use of the various toys, really just emphasizing the importance of us knowing our bodies and knowing what pleases us. And the takeaway I got from that experience was that if you as a woman don't know how to please yourself, how in the world are you going to take up with another person and tell them and communicate to them effectively what pleases you? So that was my takeaway. And so I really grew from that experience, took that lesson seriously, obviously. And I think that as a result, you know, I grew to know how what made me happy and what pleased me. But when I would have a partner, I'd be able to communicate and let them know what I like as well. And there's a lot of women, believe it or not, who just don't feel comfortable even just spending time by themselves and exploring their bodies and understanding what makes them happy outside of another person. And for me, that's much bigger than just physical intimacy or physical sex. To me, it's this, am I happy? Can I please myself? How do I see myself? What's my self-worth? What's my self-esteem? Because if you can please yourself and make yourself happy, then a person that you come into contact with along the way is either going to enhance who you already are and bring some additional love into your life, but they can't make you happy. You have to make yourself happy. And so that's sort of like that was one of the takeaways. And I think that sexual pleasure for yourself is as equally important as it is as having self-esteem and high sense of self-worth. If you can come, you know, with a complete package, then you have that to offer somebody else. If you're coming incomplete, you're still bringing that incomplete self to any relationship that you're in. And so I think that sexuality plays a huge role in that, because when I come across people who are either unsure, unclear, unaware of their sexuality in terms of their identity or who they are or what makes them happy, I often find that that translates into them having the inability to demonstrate being very secure about themselves. Like, their insecurities come out in so many different ways. It comes out in the workplace, their interactions with their friends and their relationships with their children, just a multitude of different ways. And I think that, for me, my personal opinion is that I think that they need to get with themselves.
Yeah.
And figure out, like, what makes them happy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I was, like, really shocked, even among some of the same friends I had made in the sorority, where there are some women that I came across that had never pleasured themselves, never sat in a bubble bath and just, like, took a mirror and just, like, explored themselves, whatever, like, no time spent alone. Just not interested. Never been taught that. Didn't think it was a good idea. And so I'm just like, okay.
Right.
Suit yourself.
I think that when I was younger, I realized that, like, the shower head, like, had, like, an effect. So I was one of those girls and just realized it on my own because I had such a high sex drive. I didn't know what it was when I was younger. I had no clue where it was coming from. So it was really weird. And I definitely didn't talk about it with nobody because, like, you know, it was embarrassing when you were younger. So honestly, I'm, like, the one who introduces the toys to all my friends.
I'm like that girlfriend that will be like, here, happy birthday.
And then there's some of us where it didn't happen in college. August explains her initial roadblock to her sexuality and the story behind when she discovered pleasuring herself. College class made August more curious now more than ever about her own anatomy, but she explains that she mainly learned through her own sexual experiences.
I have since, but no. I learned about sex the way so many people do, which is by having it and being really confused. So I didn't learn very much about my body at all until when I had that kind of aha moment in that college class. Then I was like, oh my gosh, I need to figure out what my clitoris is. I need to figure out, you know, I started to really study it. And as a writer, which, you know, I eventually became, I realized that, you know, the best way for me to learn is to write. And I love exploring topics. So, like, I got to have an orgasm MRI where I got to go into an MRI machine and self-stimulate and study, you know, to help them study how the brain works during orgasm. Like, I'm so into the studying now. I really submerse myself in it.
Yeah.
But that's really honestly in the last 5 years, other than a lot of experience, you know, I was really learning through experience. And I hear that from so many people. It's like either people learn from experience or watching porn usually. It's not something they get from school and maybe they hear it from their peers, but the internet's a big one now. Having some solo play for the first time and realizing that I had never embraced that for myself was so world-shifting for me. And I decided that it was time. I connected all the dots between, wow, childhood sex ed and anorexia and depression and body image issues and all these things were all tied up into the same ball. And it's time to do something about it. And girl boner had always been this kind of inside joke for me and my friends, like for years, because I'd been wondering about girl boners literally since I was 11. Like it was just joke in my head. Like I heard about boners and I was like, what about girl boners?
Right.
So I decided to just do something. And that was the beginning. And I thought, well, maybe it'll just be a blog, but it was so much more than that almost immediately. And it's been a few years and it just keeps evolving. I'm so grateful for that.
Self-discovery. Sandra's in her 40s and walks me through her own sexual discovery and more specifically of the G-spot in her 30s.
I didn't learn about how to make sure I got an orgasm until, it's so funny, I had read in a book about the G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
I had read a Zane book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the hell is the G-spot? Like, what the frick is that?
Yeah.
And so I Googled, no, Google wasn't around then. It was ask.com.
Okay.
And I got to these websites that it described how you could put your finger and find your G-spot. I'm at my desk at work. I was alone, though. My boss was out. And I went and looked for it. I was waiting, feeling, you know, they said it would be a light lump, and it was kind of fuzzy feeling. Kind of like a gritty skin.
Huh.
And you'll feel, it'll feel, if you press on it, it'll feel like you want to pee.
Sandra also adds she was never able to have that orgasm she wanted, especially with her now ex-husband. But she shares an aha moment about being on top.
So I was like, all right. So, and it told you where it was, and I hooked my finger, and then I was like, So then I remember I went home, and Shane used to get home before me, but I went and gave myself, I fingered myself on the spot to see if I could have an orgasm, and I did.
Huh.
So it really was with him that but the guy I first started seeing after Shane, where I was more explorative because I wasn't, you know, he wasn't as strict as Shane with sex. I mean, I was told him, I want to figure out how to use my G-spot, and he was like, oh, the best way is to get on top. And I was like, And so he did, and I remember he was just like, just do it, and he said, just take control and figure it out. And I remember I was like, because with Shane was always mostly control.
Okay.
Well, here I was being told to you take control. I'm like I'm holding the rein. Okay, yeah. This is different.
Yeah.
So, you know, shifting around. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, all right. So he's like, I'm not going to move. Just go for it. Just go get it. That's what he said. Go get it.
Right.
And I got it. And after having experiences with him and growing, getting older, I know now
where it is.
How to tell anybody, be like, oh, please don't move.
Want to know what women in their 20s need to know? Then check out The Friggin' Truth. It's The Real by Nina, a full holy grail rundown of love, sex, dating, and health commandments for every woman. You can get a free copy by going to www.ninababel.com/thefriggintruth. Okay, is it a replacement for men? No. August, Tara, and Brittany all agree pleasuring is a stress release, and it leaves options available to women who are not dependent on another person.
Yeah, I think that's probably not uncommon, and I think it's really cool that you talk about that now, because I'm sure there are people listening who are still in that place of, oh my gosh, I could never. And not that everybody needs to use toys, but I think, or masturbate, however, you know, it's our own decisions and whatever works for us, and there's no right or wrong amount to do those kinds of things. But I think it's something that we all need to be curious about, at least, because for me, it was world-changing to be able to realize, this is me, and look at this wonderful pleasure. It reduces stress, and it feels so good, and I can fantasize and play and have fun, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I can have a good time, and I think that for me, it translates into life, because I can have a good time alone, or I can be in the company of a man that I love, or people that I love, and still exhibit happiness. My happiness is not dependent on another person.
Then there's too much. Is it a replacement for men?
I think I broke my vagina.
Oh, sorry, my point
is on. Metaphorically, I mean, with the rabbit.
Oh, so you've been using it?
Yes, and I'm scared if I keep using it, I'll never be able to enjoy sex with a man again.
Why?
Well, have you ever been with a man, you know, and he's like, he's doing everything, and it feels good, but somehow you just can't manage to,
come?
It's weird, because with the rabbit, it's like every time, boom. And one time, I came for like 5 minutes.
Tara shares her reasons for keeping her options open.
Yeah, and see, that's what I felt when I was younger, was shame. Like, I was shameful that I felt this way, but at the same time, I felt good doing it. It's almost like a young boy coming into his rise of feeling that, oh, there's a sensation there when I rub this way. It's like when you talk about girls, oh my God, it's horrifying. You know what I mean? But there's certain girls that are the same way. And, you know, it didn't come till growing up into my woman years that I finally realized that, okay, I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I'm comfortable with what I like and what I don't like. And that's what I think a lot of women struggle with, is being comfortable in their sexuality and, you know, trying new things. It, like, everybody, like you said, is so green and they get so nervous and scared.
It's a good feeling. Sometimes too much of a good thing, right? In this Sex in the City clip, Charlotte can't get enough. This is the female equivalent of what guys do on a daily or regular basis, brought to the forefront by pop culture.
It's a vibrator. It's not like it's crack.
Charlotte, you hid the rabbit behind a stuffed rabbit? That is so you.
You guys have a lot of nerve coming in here. You're the one who made me get it.
I thought you could handle it.
It's no big deal. I'd just rather stay home with the rabbit than go out and deal with men.
The newbie. So I went to this party. I forget the name of it, but it was one of those, you know, toy parties. And it was officially my first toy party. I was the only one, I kid you not, in the room who is the green one. Never owned a toy in my life. And it was like walking through a museum. I was just observing and taking it all in, touching, feeling. And I say this because it showed me how behind the times I was, maybe, naive, not exposed. Gabrielle is married and in her 30s and clearly has had more exposure to toys than me.
I had a whole drawer full of them. Which one do you want to know about?
What's your favorite?
Well, I have a
few. The rabbit?
No.
No.
No?
That's plain.
Yeah.
There's so many different ones. Well, I've been to a lot. Now this big thing. Right. Yeah. This big thing over the last century has been these little like slumber parties and romance parties. I just went to one last week. And it's all, they're all like all amazed. Like I have a whole drawer full of toys that just like don't really, they're there to get you over for me. So,
like it's an in-between thing?
Yeah, yeah. For me it's like, it's far few in between though. Like, I don't know, it's like artificial.
Yeah. Yeah.
In well, my opinion.
My opinion, it's like, I don't like to mess with the plumbing because what happens is when you want to have sex, the plumbing
it throws
is messed
you off.
Up.
Yeah, because you're this artificial thing, but... You know, like, I have, like, all these little, like, different contraptions, little, like, dildos and, well, like, it's just the whole drawer full of my open, you look okay. And it's like, okay, and then you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, look, I don't know.
I went out.
But I have a bullet, and that's the best one.
Yeah.
I went out, okay, trying to do something new with my husband. So I went and got, y'all know the balls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With the gold string.
But that was I don't understand how that works.
Well, you got to be in an intimate, like, if we're at dinner... And like he's sitting there and you're sitting there and then the wires underneath, he can control the balls.
But y'all the been, balls go where in your ass?
Yeah. Wherever you want.
I mean, but yeah, the anal, those are with those, they're made for the anal. I don't know where
I don't
you can put them at, but
right.
They're
you can
made
put
for
them,
the anal.
You can put them wherever. One there, one there. Hey, that's what I did. But, and he was
how did
just,
you do that? Because it's all in a string.
Like if he's sitting, we're sitting at a table and he's there and oh, you did. Put it under the table, and he has the control, and you have yours. Mm-hmm. You just
wait, but
put
you
it
said
there.
You was at a restaurant?
Man, I don't care. But they don't be, people don't pay attention.
Your tablecloth.
Yeah,
they don't.
All, yeah
people tablecloth. Don't pay attention, and he just like handed it to me underneath. I had no panties on and just put it in.
Some of us still don't know what their fantasy is, but we know what we want. We want that Mr. Lubba Lubba, that boombastic in the bedroom.
I have never been taken to where I need to go. I can settle for it, for what you give me.
Where you need to go.
I need some like this.
Yeah, what are you looking for then? Like, what?
I don't know. It's just like, I don't know.
So, if you don't know, then it might not
I mean, I know,
way.
But if I have to tell you, then
you only know once
fine.
You get there. It's one of those things you want.
Yeah.
It's
so some of you are looking for boombastic in the bedroom. But you know what? You can't define or tell us what boombastic means. For you.
You have to step in and you have to put your own fantasy in the play.
Exactly.
You have to find somebody that's willing to play your fantasy. So
I have.
No, you have to tell your husband.
I do. I was like, come on. Oh. But he's just like, he's so...
As I get older, I realize that it's more about female empowerment and being comfortable with your sexuality. I mean, that's how you connect the dots.
I learned about the toys and stuff. I just went to the toy store. There's a place called Fair Villa here in Orlando, Florida. And I went there and I got like, you know, I just loved everything. Like I loved the dressing up. I loved the, you know, the whole nine yards about it. It took me a while to get here, and there's still women that are my age. I'm 29, and they just are still not comfortable. And I'm like, you know, you got to get out of that box.
Outside of the human anatomy, once you're familiar with your own sexual plumbing and how it works, you can articulate to anybody exactly what turns you on and how to take it to the next level. Brittany talks about the lesson she personally learned from this woman with a pole in her bedroom.
I remember coming to contact with a young lady who was sharing with us an experience of her having a pole, like, in her bedroom. And I was like, she must be some kind of freak. Who, like, has a pole installed in your bedroom? Like, what's that about?
Right.
But then she really started, when I started to listen to her, pay attention to what she was really saying was, it was an outlet for her to express herself. And then she wanted to share that with whomever, that was her prerogative, but she found empowerment, female empowerment, and her ability to express herself sexually in that way. And that she was 100% in control, and that she didn't do it for anyone else. She was doing it for the pleasure of herself. And she says that when she is intimate with with others, they find that extremely alluring and attractive and very empowering as well. So I was like, I'm all about female empowerment. So I was like, well, I got you. That's when I started to pay attention. I was just like, that makes sense to me.
I remember my 20s never being able to answer the fantasy question. And this was the typical question you would get from a guy when you're dating. I personally struggled with this. Why am I so one-dimensional? Why is it always the same canned answer? I never personalized it or knew how. My responses were often fairy tale-ish, right? That Cinderella effect, or the Beauty and the Beast, you know, the guy, or it's that prince that comes and you're laying down on the bed, on the beach, what you see in the movies, what you see in the soap operas. It just doesn't work. Earlier, we talked about the roadblocks most of us have overcome. We now have a clear and better understanding of how our plumbing works. You heard all the disconnects women had with themselves when it comes to communicating with our partners. Some do know what we like. We could tell you what our fantasies are and describe what you want to feel in the moment. And it's so clear that once we have more self-awareness, we can be more open with our own selves, whether it's with or without a man. And there you have it. That wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. This is where Girly Nation reveals a chapter about themselves that, you know what, they necessarily haven't read out loud. The fact that you all are being open and honest is really a true testament of how real this show is, and that you guys love to keep it 100, you keep it real, and you keep it true. So I hope you enjoyed the aha moments, advice, and lastly, mother friggin' girlfriend knowledge. We're here to empower you every week and give you that weekly dose of self-confidence and help you realize your own self-worth. Before you leave, Girly Nation, I want you to give me some love. I know you already gave me a dose because you listened to this episode, right? If you liked what you heard today, kindly leave me a rating, review, and even subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher. Girly Nation, this is what helps me stand out from the crowd. Connect with me on social media. I love Twitter, Instagram, and snap me anytime on Snapchat using the handle @NinaBabel. Or you know what? Head on over to my website. Everybody, it's my new website at ninababel.com, and subscribe to anything that makes sense. You have access now to all my latest and greatest, or you can just connect with me on social media that way. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, we drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to share the show with your girlies. Was this episode good for you? Email me any question or personal story to ask@ninababel.com. Give me some love, Girly Nation. You could always check out my videos on YouTube by typing in the search field Nina Babel. In next week's episode, we're going girl code about the biological clock. And I'm going to feature a medical expert who's going to give you the girl code medical answers that every woman should know in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. If you have a personal question you would like addressed on the next show, send it to ask@ninababel.com. Thanks, girl. Smooches.